All right, 24. Joash was 7 years old when he became king, and he reigned 40 years in Jerusalem. His mother's name was Zibiah from Beersheba, and Joash did what was right in the sight of the Lord all the days of Jehoiada the priest. And Jehoiada took two wives for him, and he became the father of sons and daughters. Now it came about that after this that Joash decided to restore the house of the Lord. And he gathered the priests and Levites and said to them, "Go out to the cities of Judah and collect money from all Israel to repair the house of your God annually, and you shall do the matter quickly." The Levites did not act quickly. So the king summoned Jehoiada the priest, chief priest, and said to him, "Why have you not required the Levites to bring in from Judah and from Jerusalem the levy fixed by Moses, the servant of the Lord, on the congregation of Israel for the tent of the testimony? For the sons of the wicked, Athaliah, had broken into the house of God and even used the holy things of the house of the Lord for the Baals." Okay, verse 8. So the king commanded, and they made a chest and set it outside by the gate of the house of the Lord. And they made a proclamation in Judah and Jerusalem to bring to the Lord the levy fixed by Moses, the servant of God. Here, why don't you guys read it by yourself, okay?
So we'll continue in verse 8. So the king commanded, and they made a chest and set it out outside the gate of the house of the Lord. And they made a proclamation in Judah and Jerusalem and bring to the Lord the levy fixed by Moses, the servant of God, on Israel in the wilderness. And all the officers and all the people rejoiced and brought in their levies and dropped them into the chest until they had finished. And it came about, whenever the chest was brought in to the king's officer by the Levites, and we saw that there was much money, then the king's scribe and the chief priest officer would come, empty the chest, take it, and return it to its place. Thus they did it daily and collected much money. Okay. Verse 12. And the king and Jehoiada gave it to those who did the work of the service of the house of the Lord, and they hired masons and carpenters to restore the house of the Lord, and also workers in iron and bronze to repair the house of the Lord. So the workmen labored, and repair work progressed in their hands, and they restored the house of God according to the specifications and strengthened it. Verse 14. And when they had finished, they brought the rest of the money before the king and Jehoiada, and it was made into utensils for the house of the Lord, utensils for the service, and the burnt offerings, and pans and utensils of gold and silver. And they offered burnt offerings in the house of the Lord continued all the days of Jehoiada. Verse 15. Now Jehoiada reached a ripe old age. He died. He was 130 years old at his death. And they buried him in the city of David among the kings, because he had done well in Israel to God and to his house. Verse 17. And after the death of Jehoiada, the officials of Judah came and bowed to the king, and the king listened to them. And they abandoned the house of the Lord, the God of their fathers, and served the Asherim and the idols. So wrath came upon Judah and Jerusalem for this, their guilt. Yet they sent prophets to them to bring them back to the Lord, and they testified against them, and they would listen. Verse 20. Then the Spirit of God came on Zechariah, the son of Jehoiada, the priest, and he stood above the people and said to them, "Thus God has said, why do you transgress the commandments of the Lord and do not prosper? Because you have forsaken the Lord, he has also forsaken you." So they conspired against him, and at the command of the king, they stoned him to death in the court of the house of the Lord. Thus Joash the king did not remember the kindness which his father Jehoiada had shown him, but he murdered his son. And as he died, he said, "May the Lord see and avenge." Verse 23. Now it came about at the turn of the year that the army of the Arameans came up against him. And they came to Judah and Jerusalem, destroyed all the officials of the people from among the people, and sent all their spoil to the king of Damascus. Indeed, the army of the Arameans came with a small number of men, yet the Lord delivered a very great army into their hands, because they had forsaken the Lord, the God of their fathers. Thus they executed judgment on Joash. Verse 25, and when they had departed from him, for they had left him very sick, his own servants conspired against him because of the blood of the son of Jehoiada the priest, and murdered him on his bed. So he died, and they buried him in the city of David, but they did not bury him in the tombs of the kings. Verse 26, now these are those who conspired against him, Zabad the son of Shimeat, the Ammonites, and Jehozabad the son of Shimeat, the Moabites. As to his sons, and the many oracles against him, and the rebuilding of the house of God, behold, they are written in the treatise of the book of the kings. Then Amaziah, his son, became king in his place.
Thanks, Ken. All right, let's try this. So this is the reign of young Joash, and you can see the parallel between Joash and Jehoiada. While Jehoiada was alive, Joash did really well. He actually did very, very well. And you get little hints, like, well, verse 2 says very simply that he did right what was in the sight of the Lord. Remember, Jehoiada was the one who cared for him those 7 years while they were in hiding from Queen Athaliah. And then in verse 3, it says, Jehoiada took two wives for him, and he became the father of sons and daughters. To him is Joash. It's not himself. And so it gives an idea that even personal affairs that were very much done by Jehoiada during this time. And then he has this season, Israel, Judah, has this season of very faithful priests that come out during this time. And so the Lord put in Joash's heart to restore the temple. And you remember before this, you had kind of evil kings of Judah, and so the temple would have been in disarray. And part of the tithe was meant to go to the fixing of the temple, you know, the Levites, the priests, and all those kinds of things. And it was, by the time Joash becomes king, it was not very well kept. And so he comes to this place, and he said that we should continue to collect the funds and rebuild, but fix up the temple in its former glory. And so what ends up happening is that the Levites don't pay attention. And so this is a tension that takes place. The Levites don't pay attention to Joash, but they listen to Jehoiada. This, some scholars believe that this could have been the reason why when Jehoiada passes, Joash kind of turns from the Lord. And particularly the major instinct or the major issue by which Judah falls from the Lord is, so after, you know, they build a temple, and by the way, I want you to note on verse 10, and it says, all the officers and all the people rejoiced and brought in their levies and dropped them into the chest until they had finished. This is what Paul is referring to in 2 Corinthians throughout his letters when he talks about giving with a joyful heart. Because it was manifest in not only in the collection that David made for the original temple, but it's here even in the restoration of the temple. And the people of God, when time came for them to give, they gave joyfully. And you see this as a pattern. But let me go back down. And so Jehoiada reached a ripe old age. He passed away. And then, verse 17, but after the death of Jehoiada, the officials of Judah came and bowed to the king, and the king listened to them, and they abandoned the house of the Lord, the God of their fathers, and served the Asherim and the idols. So wrath came upon Judah and Jerusalem for this, their guilt. Let me tell you exactly what happens. So the men, so leaders of Judah came to Joash and basically said, you know, king, do we really have to go to Jerusalem three times a year? Is this really what we need to do? It's so expensive. It's so troublesome. It's really difficult journey. Do we really need to do this? And so basically, he listens to them, and now temple worship is not required. It was required in the law of Moses, and it's interesting that Joash appeals to the law of Moses as he refers to paying tribute to fix the house. But now the big issue, the big law of Moses, is that we should go to the temple and worship him in Jerusalem, in the holy city. So he basically tells these guys, don't do this. Now, again, there could be a connection going all the way back to the Levites here. And remember, you know, can you imagine this young king? He has this great idea to restore the temple. And the Levites, the priests, don't listen to him. Actually, don't even pay any attention to him at all. Until Jehoiada, his mentor, the chief priest, talks to them. And then they elicit, and then they start a process of giving and alms, and all these things happen. It could be that Joash has some resentment towards the Levites. And so the first instance where we come to this place you're basically in infringing on their job as keepers of the temple. And so next thing you know, this is what happens. They're no longer coming to Jerusalem. They're going up to the mountains, again, going back to the high places. And now idolatry is rife within the land of Judah once again. And, you see these little patterns of just like a little bit of compromise. Just a little bit of just turning just slightly away. Because at first, the way that these leaders approached Joash was that we can come to this place and we will worship God, but a little more conveniently. You know, in our mountains, in our more of our synagogues and these type of places, instead of what Moses had commanded them to come. Because, you know, there's something about coming together as a nation for specific periods of time, to fast, to seek the Lord together, to hear one central message. And honestly, this is why we go on retreat every year. Yes, it's costly. It's burdensome to the staff. It's a lot of work that goes into it. But there's something about the whole gathered community just retreating, going out. For the Jews, it would have been living in tents for a season of time. Obviously, they didn't really like that all that much. Probably like a lot of Hong Kong people would not like to, you know, to go out and live in tents for a bit. And you know, all these different things. And it was good. It was part of their humility. It was part of humbling them. And if part of them actually remembering, they no longer have that. And people left to their own devices, guess what? Will choose evil. Man is not good. Man is evil. There's none righteous, not even one. And they're left to their own devices. And now they're without priestly supervision. And next thing you know, idolatry goes in. But yet, you see God, He hasn't given up on Judah nor Joash, and so he sends prophets. He sends Micah. He sends Zechariah. He sends all kinds of prophets their way. And unfortunately, Zechariah, now the son of Jehoiada, he was probably the youngest son because he's not listed on any of the roles before. And the Spirit of the Lord comes upon him. He starts prophesying against what's going on in Judah. And do you remember that phrase, they killed him between the court, you know, the porch and the altar? It's referring to this incident right here. And so they killed the prophet between the porch and the altar, inside the court there. And so, when Zechariah dies, he says, may the Lord see and may he avenge. You know, require blood. And then the next thing you know, the next turn of events happens, and the Arameans came against Judah. And just historically, a small group of Arameans came in and actually defeated the Israelites. And they executed judgment on Joash. And so, and God also executes judgment on Joash, and then he gets very, very sick. And he basically, you know, dies in bed. And his servants conspire against him, you know, because of the blood of the son of Jehoiada the priest, and murdered him on his bed. I mean, what a really sad way of dying. And check it out. And they did not bury him in the tombs of the kings. We see this as a typical pattern that each of these guys that, now Jehoiada, they buried in the tombs of the kings. People that gave great national service sometimes receive that honor. And so he definitely does. But Joash, they don't. And he, it gives you an idea of the public sentiment that's going around while he's ruling. It gets to a place now where they kind of lost faith in him. And there's no fanfare whatsoever as he goes before the Lord. And he goes to the Lord, I should say, in his death. And then Amaziah, his son, takes over after that. All right, so let's close our eyes. Now, I'm gonna make a little stretch, okay? So I'm just going to tell you beforehand, so I don't want you to think I'm not a good Bible teacher or anything like that. I'm just going to stretch something a little bit here. I think that Joash was disappointed in the Levites, and he was disappointed and you know, a bit angry. You know, by the way, disappointment is the way Christians say I'm angry. And just that disappointment, unsubmitted to the Lord, leads to a bitterness. It leads to really bad decision making on his part. I mean, think about it. They just spent tons of money restoring the temple, and then next thing you know, he lets them not go to the temple. That's like so dumb, right? It doesn't make any sense. But that's what the spirit of compromise does. You know, when we're hurt, when we're bitter, things that we do just don't make any sense. In fact, a lot of things that we do actually hurt us. But we're so blinded by vengeance, or we're so blinded by our pain. And I think that's what happens to Joash here. And so this morning, again, I know that's a little stretch, okay? I'm kind of reading the text, but I believe this. You know, let the Holy Spirit speak to you. Are we bitter at somebody? Are we holding some anger maybe towards our dad? You know, or it could be a leader. And it's causing us to make erratic decisions. Decisions that you would not have made had you been in the right condition of our hearts. And I see this happen a lot in the church. And because, you know, we're religious and we put on the masks and the facade and, oh, everything's okay, but there's this poison living inside of us that causes us to really make poor decisions. I think that's what Joash, I think, was never really able to forgive the Levites. And the one instance where he could stick it to them, he does. He says, you don't have to go to the temple, you can just go anywhere and worship God. And it leads to an apostasy. He gets called on it by Zechariah. But again, poor decision making. He decides to kill him instead of repent. Maybe the Holy Spirit is giving us an opportunity today. If we're holding bitterness against somebody, you know, and probably, okay, bitterness happens later. Hurt. We're disappointed. And those things left unchecked, not submitted to the Lord, leads to bitterness. It leads to a loss of intimacy with God and others around us. And then eventually leads to poor decision making, poor choices. And so maybe, you know, in living in this life, I'm sure there's people that have hurt you. But this is why we need to practice total forgiveness. And so let the Holy Spirit speak to you today about kind of, you know, maybe some things that we're holding or some things that we're harboring. You know, just ask the Lord, just Holy Spirit, speak to me. Maybe there's something there. And as we sing, let's just go before the Lord. let's pray this morning. You know, I also can't forget that maybe some of us might be angry at God or bitter at Him. Didn't quite work out like we thought it would. So let the Holy Spirit speak to you, and let's just go before Him humbly. Let's submit our disappointments with people, our hurts. Let not the enemy use that as a foothold that eventually leads into a stronghold. Let's pray. Let's go to our community prayers, and let's pray for our friends and family that are battling through cancer, going through therapies. And let's pray for God's healing word. If I just highlight, if you can just continue to pray for Calvin, as he's having a difficult eating, let's just pray that he'd be able to take in food and nutrients and thus help his body to fight off. Let's pray. Let's pray for our friends and family that are battling through illness, but also needs to meet with Jesus. Let's pray for physical healing. Let's pray for the word of salvation. Let's pray for our community that's battling through non-cancer-related illness. Let's pray for God's healing. Go to our prayers for Hong Kong. Let's pray over our government, pray against the wealth gap, pray for revival. Let's lift up churches all over the city, pray for our friends, Sports Services International, Shanty, Masters Beauty, Sons and Daughters, CSW, Mother's Choice. Pray for the Korean church, pray for Hong Kong students, domestic helpers, and families in distress. And let's lift our city up. Let's pray for our staff. Let's ask God's hand to be with us. Pray for our just our heart, that we would serve the Lord with all of our heart and be very diligent in that process. Let's also pray for our families. Ask God to cover them and protect them as we step into the front lines. Let's pray. Let's pray over our hospitality ministries, our welcoming and baristas. Let's pray for Holy Spirit to be with our leaders. Actually, both of them are coming back from trips. Help them to rest well and recover well. Pray for all our volunteers that really they would be such a welcoming presence of the Lord as they welcome people into the church. Let's pray. Let's pray for our worship and sound and AV teams. So let's pray for our leaders. Let's pray for all of our volunteers. There would just be an incredible sense of anointing. They would really usher in the presence of God. And let's just really pray for their private times of worship that would manifest publicly on Sundays. So let's lift up. Let's pray for house churches tonight. Let's pray for First Street, Fontana, Garden, Hopewell, Kowloon, Lido, Old Peak Road, and Soho. Let's just pray for Holy Spirit to lead and guide. The presence of God would be with our house church leaders, our hosts. They would really connect with God and with one another. God. Lord, we want to just agree, God, with Paul that says, put aside all wrath and dissension, God. Put aside, God, anger, bitterness, Lord. Father, we just ask, God, that we learn from the story of Joash, Lord, that offenses, God, kept, Lord, offenses not given over to you, Lord God, not submitted to you, God, could lead to anger, disappointment, God, bitterness, and then eventual, God, poor judgment, Father, sin. And so, Lord, we know, as Paul says, God, we know the schemes of the enemy. We are aware of his tactics, God, and We see how the enemy works, Lord. He just takes a little bit of disappointment, God, and he festers it and it stews. And it causes us, Lord, to make really bad decisions, God. And so, Lord, we just pray, God, that each of us, Lord, that we would not hold on to any wrath or bitterness or dissension, God. That we would just lay everything before you, Lord God, and ask for your forgiveness, ask for your healing, God. Thank you, Lord. God, watch over us today. Help us to give glory to your Son, Jesus, and all that we do and say. We thank you, Lord. And in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. God bless you. Enjoy the rest of your prayer time. We'll see you tomorrow.